L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To London, to Joseph Sternberg, the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal member, as well as the political economics columnist for the journal, basing in London. And we begin with Joe's observations about worldwide inflation, central bankers, and in particular, Mr. Powell, Jerome Powell, chair of the Federal Reserve Board, the independent Federal Reserve Board, now renominated by the President of the United States to go before the U.S. Senate to answer questions. And I read most recently in Joe's column about Mr. Powell and his questions that there might be one question Mr. Powell cannot answer, will not answer, maybe nobody can answer it. Joe, let's get right to this magical question because it dominates the conversation the last year and we can presume for the next year. Good evening to you, Joe. What is the question?
Hey, John. Well, I mean, the question broadly construed is what is he going to do about this inflation that is before our very eyes at this very moment? So Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell trundled up to Capitol Hill last week for regularly scheduled testimony in the Senate. He does this a couple times a year. And one of the big takeaways from that appearance was that he said that it was finally time to stop calling this inflation transitory. Remember, he and his colleagues at the Fed have been arguing for many months this year that we should not worry about all of these price increases that we were seeing because they were going to be transitory, that they would be temporary, that gravity would reassert itself eventually, the prices would come down. And so last week, people noticed when he said that his quote was, "It's time to retire that word." The problem is he can't really say what he's going to replace it with because, you know, to say that the inflation no longer is transitory implies that the Fed ought to be doing something about it. And yet they still seem to be very confused about what that something ought to be and how much of that, whatever it is they ought to be doing to try to get the inflation down to an unspecified desirable level. Because remember, their target nominally is 2%, but they have said that they will tolerate inflation a little above that, in addition to tolerating inflation a little below that. Yet he can't say which of those options they're shooting for. So this is all kind of creating the impression that they're firing blind, that, you know, this transitory business was really about saying we're going to tolerate inflation until we're ready to not stop tolerating inflation, and we'll just tell you when we've had enough. And I think that there's a good question that other people can ask the Fed about whether that is really a viable way to be making monetary policy.
There's a great deal of news around Joseph in London, and we'll speak to all these matters. Omicron and its concerns, the question of the conversation between the President of the United States and the President of Russia, and also what we believe right now is the markets, one day down, one day up because of the unknowns of Omicron, but also what Joseph is addressing now, inflation and tightening or something like tightening starting in the new year. All these matters will continue. And so we're focusing on inflation right now because it's my measure that this comes to everybody's dinner table. This comes to everybody's purchase of gasoline. We have inflation in the land. And Joe, what would help me to understand is, was this decision to suddenly say that it's not transitory, and I mean suddenly, but to address it as permanent and negative inflation as you characterize it, was this decision independent of political calculation? For a year, Mr. Powell and his colleagues were saying transitory, especially during the early months of the Biden administration. A new day, we turn a page, new directions, many stimulus ideas, build back better is now the remains. There was infrastructure earlier. And all that time, Mr. Powell and his colleagues were saying transitory, therefore no reason to worry about the trillions of dollars we're talking about putting into the American economy, in addition to the $1.2 or $2 trillion savings that the American people now enjoy because of the stimulus during the last year of the Trump administration. All of that was not to worry. And then Mr. Powell comes up for renomination and is renominated, and suddenly he's worried. Are these coincidences, Joe? Are these independent acts? Do we have a Federal Reserve that reads the headlines or ignores the headlines?
Oh, I think they probably read the headlines, at least to a certain extent. I mean, certainly a cynic would look at the pattern that you've just laid out and suggest that what has been happening for much of this year is that Powell was auditioning for renomination or reappointment to the chairmanship of the Fed and intended to signal to the Biden administration that he would not raise interest rates or otherwise tighten policy when that might be politically undesirable. But, you know, it's important to remember that there's a different angle, which is not necessarily any more flattering for the Fed, but is maybe a little less cynical. And that is, they find themselves in a situation where it is just very difficult for them to admit that inflation is entrenching itself, because to say that that is happening is a sign already that they have failed, in their mission to guarantee price stability, because they like to think that they are able to correctly steer the economy so you'll never really get to that point where you'll have that kind of inflation. So I think it's entirely possible also that part of the reason that they were beating that dead horse of transitory inflation so long this year, when it was so clear that this inflation was not transitory, that it was growing more serious, I think one reason they kept going with that is just that they thought that the cost to their credibility of admitting that they had failed, that they had not nipped it in the bud, that the inflation was here, that would be too big a blow to their credibility. It's this really perverse sort of situation where they think that they have to, that they best preserve their credibility by fudging the reality that people see all around them. But that does seem to be part of the mindset there.
The old story in the 20th century that I learned is that once you recognize inflation, it's too late to stop it. It runs. Is that an observation here in the 21st century, or have the rules changed?
Well, I mean, we're about to find out, unfortunately, because, I mean, one of the things that's so odd about this discussion is that we are defining action down in a weird sort of way. So remember, what was happening is that they were doing this taper. So they had been buying $120 billion worth of bonds every month. They were going to start tapering those purchases, and they would wind that down to zero purchases every month. And then they would start raising interest rates. And so we were told that this was tapering process would be finished by June of next year, which, mind you, was a very slow timetable when they first announced that, because we already knew that there was considerable inflation brewing. So now we come out and we're told that this inflation is no longer transitory. And now the Fed is really going to step in and do something. And what are they doing? They're accelerating this taper, so now it'll finish in March. That's still 3 or 4 months from now that this inflation is going on, and only at that point do they start thinking about whether it makes sense to nudge interest rates upward to try to get a handle on it. So I think that this illustrates what's happening is that the Fed is falling way, way behind the curve here, not until March really starting to move into the next stage of combating the inflation that we already have now in December. And they seem to be getting a lot of credit for acting so quickly when they're not really acting quickly at all.
The Wall Street Journal has a new poll. I won't go into the details, just focus on where we are with inflation. This is quoting in these last hours. Voters by a large margin see economic and fiscal issues, including inflation, as the top priorities for Washington. And then it goes on to make a conclusion that they favor the GOP over the Democrats. Do you measure, Joe, that it is, in fact, a top priority for Washington and that inflation is now a problem that they all recognize? Or are we still stumbling forward, as you say, firing in the dark?
Well, from what I can tell, there are definitely a lot of senators and members of Congress who are really getting an earful about this from their constituents and who have now been around the block enough times that they understand how poisonous inflation can be politically because, I mean, it just causes, I mean, first off, it causes consumers a lot of distress if you're trying to put gas in the car or food on the table. And then that feeds through to a lot of political unhappiness, which then can affect election outcomes. So I think that there are politicians in Washington who understand this, but there's not a good understanding in Washington of what to do about it. I mean, this notion that the Democrats have, or some of them, that the solution is more of the spending that's in this Build Back Better bill that they're talking about, as if that will help people's cost of living concerns. Now it's only going to inflate the prices even higher. And yet there doesn't seem to be this awareness yet in Washington of what policymakers could actually do that might help. And there's definitely an unwillingness on the part of Democrats to admit, as Joe Manchin has recognized in the Senate, incidentally, that part of the solution here might not be to spend another three or four, however many trillions of dollars it's going to be at the end of the day.
I'm speaking to Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London, and we're going to London next because there's great concern about the new variation, the new variant, Omicron. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.